Today in our program, we're going to be talking about Community and Family Resources, the services they provide, and how Brittany got a proclamation signed.
I did.
You did. You said you were going to take that to them. Yep. And not just there, but you go to the other counties as well?
Yes, I do. I've been to Story County. I've been to Humboldt County. Wright County, I think I've been to. Webster is this week, I think.
She's making the rounds anyway. But it is all to draw attention to Problem Gambling Awareness Month.
Yep, March is Problem Gambling Awareness Month, so that's what I'm working on.
So, and I know they quiz you because they don't listen to us, or they hadn't heard our program before when we talk about the numbers that you're seeing. And once again, you had said last time, pretty quiet towards the end of 23, but really picked up at least contact from people that were interested in finding out or had concerns.
Correct. We do continue to see that climb.
Still going up?
It is.
Still going up. And you did what? You start out with just an assessment, don't you?
We do. It's just an evaluation similar to the substance abuse evaluation, but more, you know, pertaining to gambling.
Okay.
They meet with a counselor and they go through that and go from there.
And they find out what they do, like a survey. They do something, and then where you can tell them these are some of the issues that you apparently have. But it's always up to the individual if they want to go into any kind of treatment or any kind of work with anybody on it.
Yes, it's always up to the individual. Obviously, we encourage them to follow through with anything that we recommend. However, you know, there's reasons people may not, different barriers and things like that. But we always do encourage it.
All right. Age groups you're seeing all, pretty much?
The youngest we've recently seen is 20.
Okay.
And then we probably have people up to mid-50s to late-50s mm-hmm. right now, but it definitely fluctuates.
Okay. And are some serious? Do they say, I want to come in. I need more help.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Right now, we've been getting a lot of our referrals from our residential program. So people mm-hmm. are admitting into residential substance abuse treatment and completing screenings or talking with their substance use counselors. And it's coming out that gambling's kind of going on there, too. And so they're meeting with the counselor, doing an evaluation. So, yeah. And then we're finding out, oh, they're gambling every single day, all day.
Oh, well, and then trying to block a lot of it out with the substance abuse.
Yes, absolutely. And they really go hand in hand. So oftentimes they're gambling more when they're using than when they're not. And so just trying to address both the issues.
So this is kind of a mix of, it's got a lot of behavioral health issues in here.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You do have someone available. Now, tell us a little bit, because I know that was one of the challenges. Do we have someone available to help pick up some of this increasing interest in dealing with gambling issues?
Yes. So actually, we just restructured the position within the past month. And so our gambling clinician is also a substance use clinician in our Ames office. Her name's Jessie. She lives right here in Boone. So she's part-time substance use and then part-time gambling counseling. So that's been really great because people are being able to get in quicker than they had been previously. So that's exciting. And then we also recently hired what we're calling an outreach coordinator, mm-hmm. somebody that's just going to be going out into the communities to do the outreach for both gambling and substance use, really raising that awareness.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's easier just if people wonder, they should come in for it. Well, they don't. There are ways they justify what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's ways that they justify what they're doing. And especially with gambling, people don't know it's a problem till it's really a problem, you know, till they're all of a sudden bankrupt or they're going into debt or they're losing their relationships or things like that. Gambling's considered the hidden addiction. You don't physically see those signs and symptoms.
So which is first then, the substance abuse or the gambling addiction? or we don't, I mean, there probably is no one way for one individual. Each one's a little different on how, you know, they might be just casually gambling mm-hmm. and then eventually all of a sudden it's getting real serious and then they do substance abuse to take away from that. And
yeah, I mean, I think it really depends on the person. In reality, I'd hate to say that gambling usually comes first, but I do have an inclination to think that because oftentimes, you know, parents are gifting scratch tickets or things like that at holidays or birthdays. And so, you know, teens or adolescents might be getting these scratch tickets or the gambling that can go on within video games.
Yeah.
So I think oftentimes it is starting at least earlier. Or even if you think about, you know, people like kids betting on things at school, even just little goofy bets or things like that, that's still a gamble.
Still a gamble. So I know that, and you know, we touched on this before, but like video games and that, it just, to me, it's one of those things where the younger they are and they start doing those things, it becomes acceptable.
Oh, absolutely. We know that with pretty much any addiction, the younger you are when you start, the more likely you are to become addicted to either the behavior or the substance. And oftentimes, you know, that goes back to the chemicals in the brain. When you're young, your brain's not fully developed, so it's more susceptible to those things. So yeah, the younger you are when you start, the more likely you are to have it become a problem.
And then it just grows from there, huh?
It absolutely does. And, you know, it also goes back to, you know, what's going on around you, your environment. Mm-hmm. If your family is finding it to be acceptable or your friends find it to be acceptable, you're more likely to find it to be acceptable. You know, and gambling on occasion, not necessarily a bad thing. Not everybody becomes addicted. But there's just things that put people higher at a higher risk.
Mm-hmm. And then we have casinos and everything else that are going on.
Yes.
So, again, there's the opportunities are there.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, whether they want to admit it or not, I try to think of my mother. She always liked to go and she'd play these machines and then she'd come home. But
yeah, and, you know, it's kind of interesting. As I've read up on gambling and the trends and stuff over the years, oftentimes what they've found is that women are more likely to do things like the slot machines.
Sure.
Or things like that versus men who are more likely to play things like the tables. Oftentimes that's seen as like those mindless games that kind of draw people out of, you know, whatever's going on in their lives. They can just shut it off. They don't have to feel the emotion. And then the table games are more of the skill-based games. So it's just kind of interesting to see how that plays out. Yeah. But yeah, all the reading I've done, that's what they seem to say.
And then there's whatever comes up online now. If you got an app.
Yeah, apps are...
That's a whole nother challenge.
That really is. And that's where I think, you know, younger folks are starting to gamble more. I know I've said it before. It is very easy to lie about your age on those things. It's not like they're checking an ID.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's very easy for teens, adolescents, or even underage adults to partake.
So obviously, you know, the big story, obviously, in the last year for it was our gambling that went on, and the Department of Public Safety did it because you're supposed to be 21. Again, young people, and I'm going, if they're doing it in college, they're probably doing it in high school, too.
Oh, yeah. I would think that they were probably doing it in high school. And, you know, it's been a few years now that they've legalized the sports betting. And so the people that are in college now were in high school when that became legal. So I absolutely could see them doing that. And then, you know, the generations before that, like I said, they probably were still doing some sports betting, just maybe not on apps.
Yeah, not at the volume or the level that they can do it now.
Right.
So. I know that, for a variety of reasons, we won't get into it, but they were doing the gambling, which obviously they were doing the gambling, but then they kind of dropped the case on it and stuff like that through Story County Attorney's Office. But that's, what is that? Does that justify it? That's a tough, I know that's a hard question, because obviously they were breaking the law.
I go back to the younger you are when you start, the more likely you are for it to become a problem. The folks that got in trouble for it, they may not have been at that point of a gambling addiction yet. Mm-hmm. However, obviously it caused a significant problem in their lives, which is one of the criteria of an addiction. Is it causing you a significant problem in continuing to do it? I don't feel like, you know, it's justified. I really would love to see someday in the future there to be a gambling treatment court similar to what there is for drug treatment and things like that. Just because I think that there's probably a lot more people getting in trouble for their gambling behavior, but they're seeing charges like theft or fraud or things like that. And so they're like, oh, these people are stealing. Well, why are they stealing? Usually, you know, most people don't just steal to steal. Some people do, but not every, not most.
Some of the big embezzlement or some of the stuff I recall from the state auditor doing investigations or the charges that come out of them, people are doing embezzling, but are doing it because they've been spending a lot of time at a casino.
Absolutely. Or online.
We're online now. Now it's really easy online. Yeah. So, all right. So we have all of that going on. Mm-hmm. We also are now moving into springtime. Yay. People got to be feeling a little better anyway. Sunshine and everything else. So our, what is it? Seasonal disorder.
Yeah.
Whatever. Now we got daylight savings, so we have to all catch up on our sleep from that. That's the next part. But a good time of the year, again, people tend to start feeling better and stuff like that. But if they do have various addictions and things like that, those aren't going to go away.
They aren't going to go
especially
away just
substance
because it's
abuse.
Nice out.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially substance abuse.
Right.
So, again, still have to work with a lot of those. What kind of numbers and how do you see those coming in and so?
You know, honestly, back in January, we saw a decrease in folks coming in. And that was both in our Ames location and our Boone location. Granted, in our Boone location, we didn't have a full-time counselor at that time. Mm-hmm. She was in training. However, we have seen a little bit of an increase recently. My counselors are spending more time in front of clients.
Okay.
And we're getting more evals coming through the door. Boone, especially, is they're getting about two evals a day, which previously we were, I'd hate to say lucky, but the counselor might have seen one. And usually it wasn't even that. So I think there is an increase currently going on.
So doing the evaluation, that's one thing. It's people coming in having to accept the fact that they are going to need some help and then coming back for help.
Yeah. And I mean, in reality, a lot of those folks that come back after the evaluation, it's not necessarily yet that they have discovered they actually need to accept the help or that they might have a problem. A lot of times it's, you know, my probation officer says I have to, or my DHS worker says I have to. I tell folks I don't care what brings you through my door. I care what keeps bringing you through my door. And usually that realization doesn't switch for them until a little while into treatment.
And so they get into it and then all of a sudden it starts clicking. I do have. And then it doesn't go away. It's an addiction.
Yeah, it doesn't go away. I mean, not everybody that we treat has a full-fledged addiction. Some of them are just kind of teetering on that or, you know, some bad decisions have been made or things like that. So for some of them, after treatment, they can go about their daily lives and not have a problem. Some of them can even go back and have a drink once in a while and not have a problem. But a good majority of our folks, you know, that's not a safe option for them to move forward in their lives.
So alcohol still biggest substance?
Yes, alcohol is still the biggest substance. I think I want to say that's then followed by marijuana and then meth.
Okay. She's got these numbers down there. She's clicking them off. But there are a variety of things. And we know, like, usually you get to down to kids and they're trying vaping and all of that stuff, too. That all kind of pushes them in that direction, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You know, and I think a lot of kids, it's marijuana, alcohol are the two biggest. But vaping, you know, is obviously in there. Vaping is probably bigger than the others. But, you know, we do see kids coming in for meth and different substances as well. So it's kind of scary.
It is. Yeah. And again, I'm guessing all ages, too, pretty much. One of the other things you do, and of course, now we're into springtime. So we'll end up getting a lot of, especially with St. Patrick's Day coming up. I know that what law enforcement's going to do, you're going to probably get a little increase in, again, having court-ordered classes.
I would imagine.
Typical.
Yes, I would imagine there's certain holidays that we do tend to see an increase after. St. Patrick's Day, New Year's, 4th of July, sometimes Christmas, but any time where people can get, like, tend to get together to partake in those activities.
Sure. And the other part is this, again, because for the ages that a lot of them will be, might be students, then they want to get them, all of a sudden it gets to the end of the school year and they haven't got their classes done yet. So you've got to pay attention. I mean, that's another challenge.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, of course, I don't want anyone to get in trouble. However, if you do get in trouble, I would recommend you start the process immediately.
Do it fast.
Because the sooner you start it, the sooner it's done. You know, don't wait until the day before you're supposed to get your driver's license back to come in and do an evaluation, because there's still the potential you'll get recommended something. And then that prolongs
things. Oh, well, we've got that to deal with.
Yes. So.
All right. Again, some of the things, talk a little bit about how people can make contact if they want to find out more, maybe just visit with somebody to see if they do want to do an evaluation, again, whether it be for gambling or substance abuse, anything like that. Best way to do that, and again, we've got an office right here in Boone.
Yes, we do. We have an office right here in Boone. You can always give them a call at 515-433-0369, and you'll talk to the front desk staff. They can get you scheduled for an evaluation. We also have some mental health services in that office, along with full-time substance abuse currently going on. Gamblers can call that number as well.
1-800-BETS-OFF, too.
Yes, you can always call 1-800-BETS-OFF. You can log on to yourlifeiowa.org, or you can log on to CFR's website, cfrhelps.org. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, people have messaged us over Facebook, our CFR Facebook page, and okay. You'll get a response through that, too.
There's a lot of different ways to contact. So contacting should not be stopping you from it. It's, again, if you're feeling that you do need some help, mm-hmm. do make that contact.
Yeah, reach out. I mean, if you reach out via the website, Facebook, or something like that, you know, it's not going to be in the middle of the night that you're going to get contacted back. It's going to be the next business day. But you're going to hear back.
Somebody will.
Yep.
All right. Have a great spring. Have a good St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Remember, all the law enforcement people are going to step up their efforts.
Yes. So
that's the big thing right now, too. Thanks for taking time to come in and visit with us. Congratulations on the proclamations. I know you got more to go get.
Yeah.
And we'll, again, just keep reminding folks the services available. If you're interested in finding out, get a hold of CFR.
Yes, please reach out.
Because CFR helps.
We try to.
Thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.